College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and to break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Later in this show, we will be joined by Syracuse head coach Jim Boeheim. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review, let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in this podcast. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. Today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast is brought to you by Geico. There's a quick way that you could save money. Switch to Geico. All it takes is 15 minutes to find out if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. And Geico offers coverage for more than just car insurance. Got a motorcycle? Geico's got you covered. Got an RV? Covered. Got a boat? Covered. How about homeowners or renters insurance? You bet Geico's got you covered. Go to Geico.com today and see how much you could save. That's Geico.com. And now that we've got you all set for all your Geico needs, it is the time of year where we're obviously counting down towards the NBA draft, and we're going to get you set for the NBA draft from soup to nuts in next week's edition of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. But in addition to getting ready for the NBA draft, we're also still feeling the effects of the NBA draft withdrawal deadline. And we hit on this last week. One of the big winners at the NBA draft withdrawal deadline with Syracuse getting Tyus Battle back. Five starters returning from a Sweet 16 team. Frank Howard, Tyus Battle, O'Shea Brissett, also Marik Dolajai, and also Pascal Chukwu. It is very rare in college basketball to have five starters back from a team that reaches the Sweet 16. I at Syracuse ranked 16th in my preseason top 25. What does Jim Boeheim think will be different next year for Syracuse with the experience that they're returning? And another thing to remember, this team was elite defensively in the NCAA tournament, held three straight teams to 56 points or less. Jim Boeheim, the Hall of Fame coach from Syracuse, joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein coming up next. There were several programs that won during the NBA draft withdrawal deadline, but maybe none bigger than Syracuse when they got the word that Tyus Battle was returning to school for another season. And the head coach of the Orange is Jim Boeheim, and the Hall of Famer joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein right now. And Coach, where were you when you got the news that Battle was returning to school?
I don't know where I was, but I was in heaven, I think, when I figured it out. It was obviously such great news. We've lost guys the last 7 years, and we just finally got one to stay for another year, and we got a good one. You know, he not only had a tremendous year last year, but he's a tremendous leader. The players follow his lead. He took a team, really, we struggled most of last year, and he got us to the Sweet 16, and I think he can do more. I think he's that kind of player, and we're lucky to have him back.
Now, obviously, this new draft model is set up for the players to get as much information as possible if they're a fringe player for the NBA draft, and it obviously benefits them by getting the information. But what is it like as a coach, especially in your perspective, when for 6 or 8 weeks you don't know if your best player is going to be coming back for next season? You just have to play the waiting game.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things that I think it's good overall for the players. And I think, you know, we've lost guys in that model, but I think it gives players an opportunity to really find out. I think probably, even though it's a good rule, I think probably too many players go in that really don't have much of a chance, but it's still a good experience for those players. They can find out from NBA people, you know, you need to come back, or this is what you need to do to get better. So I think overall it's a good rule. We normally don't recruit during that period anyway. So I think it's a really good overall rule. And obviously, when you get a great player back, it's a great feeling for everybody. We had a pretty good year last year, but we have everybody back now, a lot of experienced guys. So it should help our team tremendously.
Well, and it's a rarity in college basketball to have five starters back. But for you, you have five starters back from a team that went to the Sweet 16 and beat Michigan State in the round of 32. From a coaching perspective, how unique is it considering the day and age we live in college basketball?
Yeah, I think it's been 15 years or 20 years since we've had everybody back. I forgot the last time that we had everybody back. So this is, it's a great thing. You know, to have juniors and seniors is unheard of almost in college basketball at our level. And it's the most experience we've had in a long time. And guys that were successful, they just weren't, you know, in college. They were successful last year in the tournament. And we added some guys that we think are really good players. So, you know, this should be a team with a lot of potential.
You know, you told me after you beat Michigan State that you had never had a defensive run like you had during those three games in the NCAA tournament when you held three straight teams in the field of 68 to 56 points or less. How good can next year's team be defensively considering all those guys are back?
Well, we should be at least as good, but I think the difference will be our offense. I think we struggled offensively this year. That was pretty obvious for most of the year. We were at the very bottom of the league in offense, but we're going to get better with it just having these guys back, but we're adding some good offensive players. So I think that our big change is going to be on the offensive end, which is really where we lost games last year. Our defense was good all year. Our offense was not good all year.
Syracuse head coach Jim Boeheim joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Orange with five starters back entering the 18-19 season. And one of those newcomers that should add some offense is your son, Buddy. What is it like the spring and summer before getting ready to coach your son in college for the first time?
Well, I'm excited. I'm a little anxious about it. You know, you want your son to do well, but he's a hard worker. He's a really good shooter. I know if he was here last year, he would have played a lot. We needed another shooter, but I think he'll help us. He brings some good size at 6'6 at the guard spot, and he can really shoot the ball. I like what he does. I think he and Jalen Carey, another freshman from New York, is an explosive guard. I think can really help us on the offensive end. So I'm excited about coaching both these young freshmen.
And, you know, Coach, there's also some other guys who were kind of, you know, in the shadows last year but are also expected to have a role next year. Howard Washington, who had some injury issues, and Elijah Hughes, a transfer from East Carolina. Based on what you saw from the sample size that those guys showed in, obviously, Syracuse practices, what are you anticipating their impacts will be for next season?
Well, Howard Washington's a real steady point guard. I think he's going to be a really solid player. But Elijah Hughes is a tremendous offensive player. He's as good an offensive player at the guard spot as anybody that we've had in recent years. I mean, he can play guard. He can play small forward. He'll probably play small forward for us this year at 6'6". But he's a tremendous offensive basketball player. He can shoot and he can make plays. So I think these guys are going to really help us this year.
Well, and you know, so much attention, Coach, was on obviously Tyus Battle returning, and for good reason, that I feel like because of your defense, because Battle made so many big shots, you know, O'Shea Brissett's kind of production kind of almost got swept under the rug for how good he was as a freshman. Next year, what are you anticipating him to refine and move forward with as a sophomore?
Well, you know, as a freshman, he averaged 14-8, which is, you know, huge numbers. I mean, it's in the top five probably in the country for freshmen in terms of his numbers. And he's only going to get better. He didn't finish as well as I think he can around the basket. And I think he can improve his shooting. But he's a tremendous player. I think he probably was overlooked a little bit in high school, and he's probably overlooked a little bit now. You look at his numbers, and there aren't many freshmen that are able to put up those kind of numbers and be so consistent. He was there every night for us. He really was a consistent player.
Syracuse head coach Jim Boeheim joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. 5 years in the ACC, so you're half a decade in right now to what has been the best league in the country. What's the biggest difference between coaching in the ACC and coaching in the old Big East?
You know, it's just a challenge. Both leagues are really difficult leagues. I think you look at the time we were in the Big East, it was the best league in the country, and now the ACC, I think, is pretty clearly the best league in the country. So it's a challenge every night. The last two or three years, we've been hurt by early departures and haven't been as good as we'd like to be. We think we're more capable now of competing in the ACC. But you have to be a top 10 or 15 team to compete in the ACC. The top four teams in the ACC are going to be in the top 10 or 12 in the country. So we've been to the Final Four in the Sweet 16, and we were in the middle to late part of the league. So you have to be good to compete at the top of the ACC, just as the old Big East was.
You know, Coach, as we're looking right now, you know, at a kind of a transitional phase from a scheduling standpoint in college basketball, the Big Ten's going to 20 games next season. You're going to the 20-game model in 19-20. The Pac-12 is obviously discussing ways to improve their schedule. Is it significantly harder right now for a mid-major or a non-Power 5 league to be a head coach and to run a program, not just considering the schedule aspect of getting in the tournament, but also considering the fact that so many kids are transferring up?
Yeah, I think that's something I hate to see. I really do. We've taken advantage of that rule. We needed guys, and they helped us. But I hate to see that. I hate to see a mid-major program develop a kid and get him to the point where he's really good, and then he goes to another school. I mean, it's good for the players, and I think we have to live with it. But I'd hate to be that mid-major coach that develops a player and then loses them at the last second. You know, it's tough. It's tough for that program, and I think it's cost some coaches their jobs. But it's good for the players, and you know, I think that's, you know, a good thing. I'm not sure it always works out for players. I've seen players do it; it hasn't worked out, but gives them an opportunity to try to play at the higher level. But it is difficult for a mid-major program.
Coach, just final thing right here. Always love getting your insight because I know you watch so much basketball outside of your program in addition to, you know, getting ready for games for Syracuse. Just with the NBA draft coming up, you know, you're always somebody who has a keen eye for talent. Just want to throw some names at you of some of the guys that you went against who are going to be projected at the top of the draft and get your thoughts. We start with, obviously, Marvin Bagley.
Tremendous player, for a great offensive player. He's going to be a tremendous weapon in the NBA. The new NBA, he shoots the ball from the perimeter. He can put it on the floor, and he's a monster around the basket. He's the kind of guy that you look at in the NBA that can actually play the five and really hard to defend. He's a great player.
Wendell Carter.
Underrated probably because he played with Bagley. He's a traditional old power forward type of guy. You know, whether you say Al Horford or somebody like that, he can shoot the ball. He's athletic, old time, old school power forward type player, but he can shoot it.
Now let's go obviously to a guy who's getting a lot of hype, who you played in the NCAA tournament at the top of the draft board, and that's Jaren Jackson Jr. from Michigan State.
Yeah, we didn't see much from him. He didn't do much against us. He looks like a tremendous talent. He looks like a real NBA player. He was not effective in our game, but he certainly has got the tools to be very good in the NBA today.
And then there's two guys, Coach, I think are going to probably be in the latter part of the first round. But with the NBA is going, obviously shot making is at a premium. Two guys who you played last season too who are not as highly touted. BC's Jerome Robinson and then Kevin Huerter from Maryland.
Well, I love both these players. I think Jerome Robinson was the best player in our league last year. I mean, he can score the ball, puts it on the floor. I think he's a perfect NBA player. I mean, you look at the NBA today. I mean, this kid, I think he's going to be a star in the NBA. Kevin Huerter is not just a shooter. When you look at a guy like Kyle Korver, Kevin Huerter shoots it just as good, but he's more athletic. He can put it on the floor. I think these are two guys that are going to have a big impact in the NBA. I think they're both really, really good NBA players. I think this draft is the deepest I've ever seen. I mean, you've got guys like Gary Trent, who last year was one of the top five players in high school basketball, and he's not even listed in the first round. He's another guy that can really shoot the ball. So I think there's a lot of guys coming out going to the NBA that are going to make an impact, and that hasn't been the case the last few years. I think most guys that have gone in the NBA the last few years have, for the most part, unless they were the great players, have struggled to make an impact in the NBA. There's a lot of guys in this draft that can make an impact.
And then final ones, Coach, the two guys from Miami, Lonnie Walker and Bruce Brown.
You know, we didn't see Bruce Brown this year. He's an athletic, workman-like player. He doesn't shoot it really well. I think he's a guy that, you know, he's got an NBA-type body. But, you know, when you don't shoot it well, how does that translate to the NBA? Lonnie Walker is a guy that can put it on the floor. He can shoot it. He's athletic. I thought he could have used some more time in college, but, you know, we'll see what happens. He's a tremendous athletic kid, but at that position, I like guys like Huerter and Robinson more because of all the different things that they can do.
Yeah, no. Any big plans for the summer, Coach, other than golf and getting Buddy ready for his freshman year?
I'm just gonna try to just try to get my golf game back after 5 years of AU basketball, watching your kids play every single weekend. You know, this summer I've only got to go out 2 or 3 weekends for recruiting, which is unusual. I've been going out 12, 15 weekends in the summertime. So this is like a vacation period this summer for me.
All right. Well, we appreciate a couple of minutes, Coach. Look forward to seeing you in practice in the fall.
Thanks, John. Thanks.
We'd like to thank Syracuse head coach Jim Boeheim for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also, I want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the prize we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And time now for our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Send me your questions on Twitter. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And our first question comes from Chris Rogers, and it's, John, what are your thoughts next year on Texas in the Big 12? My thoughts are that Texas could be a sneaky good team under Shaka Smart. There's no lottery pick caliber big man like there was last year with Mo Bamba or the year before with Jared Allen, but you finally have player retention on Texas's roster. Matt Coleman is back at point guard. You also have Dylan Ossetkowski. Texas, to me, an NCAA tournament team in 2019. Our next question comes from Scott Snyder, and it's, John, Mick Cronin has led Cincinnati to 8 NCAA tournament appearances in a row. What has to happen for a 9th? Great question. Some big losses, obviously, for Cincinnati. Jacob Evans, Gary Clark, Kyle Washington. Jaron Cumberland, to me, has to be an all-league caliber player, a first-team all-league caliber player for Cincinnati. And honestly, what you're going to see when you have so many departures is great opportunity. Will Keith Williams be a breakout guy? Will Trey Scott be a breakout guy for Cincinnati? Can Rashawn Fredericks, the junior college import, be a starting capable player? But, you know, in the conversation that I've had with Mick Cronin in the last month, he firmly believes that for Cincinnati, not just to be an NCAA tournament team, but to be a really good team next season, they have to be in a situation where they're an elite pressing team and use their depth. Now that we've got you set for your social media needs, let's get to some nuggets.
Five good nuggets.
Five.
Five.
Six.
No, five.
But you were close.
Nugget number one, the big fish. Reed Travis, the grad transfer from Stanford, will visit both Kentucky and Villanova after Stanford graduation on June 17th, per a source. No visits set up yet. Remember, this kid's immediately eligible for next season. This is the one player that will change, obviously, the course of next season. Nugget number two, Hale State. Mississippi State upping the ante in their non-conference schedule. Mississippi State, again, according to a source, will play Clemson in the Never Forget Games in Newark on December the 8th. The other game in that doubleheader, UConn, Florida State. Mississippi State also squaring off with Arizona State in the main event in Las Vegas on Thanksgiving week. Nugget number three, the epitome of a 180. What can you say about Bruce Pearl? Contract extension through the 22-23 season. Talk about a 180. Auburn obviously named in the FBI investigation before last season started. Pearl now with a contract through 2023. Nugget number four, the cream of the Atlantic 10. What a stretch right now for Travis Ford in the Atlantic 10, adding a pair of grad transfers, Tremaine Isabel from Drexel, also Deion Wiley from Maryland. I don't even think it's a debate at this point. The Billikens with the most talented roster in the A-10. St. Louis obviously had some personnel issues last year, did get a win over Virginia Tech, but to me that's the team to beat in the Atlantic 10. And nugget number five, raising the bar, St. Mary's, after winning over 25 games the last 2 years and not getting an at-large berth to the NCAA tournament, finally scheduling up. They're obviously going to play at Western Kentucky. Then they have Cal and Harvard at home. They play a neutral site game against LSU in Las Vegas, a neutral site game in Los Angeles against New Mexico, who should be much improved under Paul Weir. And then they are on the other side of that bracket in the main event tournament in Las Vegas. St. Mary's going to play Utah State in one semifinal, Mississippi State against Arizona State in the other semifinal. So Randy Bennett scheduling up. We'd like to thank Syracuse head coach Jim Boeheim for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'll be back next week with a comprehensive breakdown of the 2018 NBA draft, as well as the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.